This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Charlottesville could be mighty proud recently when the MacArthur Fellows Program Fellowship announced that one of the recipients of a genius grant, quote-unquote, was Corey Harris, a resident of Central Virginia, singer, songwriter, musician, a man of many talents, and he joins us live in studio. Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, greetings, Coy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you coming in. I know that you are very, very busy, especially now. You're a busy man.
Yes.
Corey, first, congratulations. What an honor. What a terrific thrill this must be for you personally, for you and your family. And it's just wonderful.
Yes, it's been a thrill for all of us, definitely.
Tell me how you found out, because tell me the story of how you found out that you had been selected. Each year, the MacArthur Foundation picks about 20 to 40 Americans to receive this incredible award, which the financial, it's not only an honor, but the financial side is $100,000 a year for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the award is given to individuals who show, quote, exceptional merit and promise for continued and enhanced creative work.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you find out that you had won?
Well, that morning, it was a Tuesday morning, I went to drop off my daughter at daycare. I came back home and I was checking my email and someone called my phone from Chicago area code, a number that I did not recognize. I missed the call. And so I called back saying, you know, my name is Corey Harris. I'm returning a call from this number. I don't know who called me. And the woman said, well, you know, and then I said, what is the name of this place? And she said, well, this is the MacArthur Foundation. And I said, oh, okay. And I, you know, it didn't really register because I had heard of the MacArthur Foundation, but, you know, I wasn't thinking anything special about it. But it was a mystery. I'm like, well, who are these people? So anyway, she says, I'll put you right through. And I says, okay. And so she put me through to another receptionist who was very happy to hear from me, you know, as if she knew me. And it was very warm, like, oh, yes, hello, Corey, yes. You know, and now I'm thinking, really, who is this? You know, and then she says, I'll put you right through to him. And I'm like, well, who is him? You know, all this is going through my head, you know. And so this man answers the phone who I turned out to be the president of the foundation, Daniel Sokolow. And, you know, he's the one who every year calls the fellows to tell them that they've won. But like I say, I didn't know anything about it at all. And, you know, he started the conversation saying, my name is Daniel Sokolow. I'm the president of, you know, have you heard of us? This is what we do. He gave me the line, you know, we've got assets of this much and we give away this much every year. And I'm like, okay, cool, you know. And then he says, can you guess why I'm calling you? And I says, well, I guess maybe. I don't know. I won something. I don't know. You know, it was like talking to Bob Barker or something, like Price is Right. But it was great, you know. And then he just said, well, you know, you've won a fellowship and this is what it is. This is how much it is. And all I could say was, wow. I said, must have said, wow, maybe four times. Like, wow, wow, wow. Okay, wow. And then he proceeded to tell me, you know, that this is, you know, done by secret nomination, secret anonymous nominators. It's a real secret process so that most of the people have no idea they're being considered for it. And he also told me that there's no strings attached and, well, you know, that they would never, that I would never be hearing from them except for this one phone call.
Wow.
Yeah, you never hear from them again. You don't have to write them, send them anything. They don't want to hear from you. They just want you to just go and do your thing. And so, you know, they send you the funds and, you know, I'm still waiting for that. If anyone's listening. But
well, they have your address.
Yeah. I'm not in a rush. They'll get around to it when it happens.
We're talking with Corey Harris, the recipient of a recent Genius Grant from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, a resident of Central Virginia. Corey, what does it mean to you? What does the, I mean, besides, it is an incredible honor. I'm wondering what it means to you that the money, really, $100,000 a year for 5 years. What does it mean for your art? Because that's the whole purpose of the of the grant is to recognize the promise and the possibility.
Well, you know, I've been able to do so far what I've done in music on very much a shoestring budget. You know, that includes going over to Mali, recording a record with Ali Farka Touré, you know, doing records in New Orleans, recording in the field in Mississippi, you know. So I haven't ever lacked for ideas. So this will enable me to do those things, but not have to struggle and suffer. Like when I recorded in Mississippi, I drove there all the way there from Charlottesville by myself. I cooked food for myself and put it in a cooler because I couldn't afford to, you know, it wasn't in the budget to stop and, you know, eat at nice restaurants and such. And, you know, so I really gave my all for what I do. And this will enable me to give more into what I do so that it can be richer, that the product can be richer. You know, I can spend more time. I was saying to someone just recently, you know, all this music I've been writing this past several years has been music I've been writing on the run, on the road, in hotel rooms, in airplanes, you know, in airports. You know, I haven't really had stretches of time or the luxury to say, well, I'm going to take time off from touring and record and write. You know, it doesn't happen like for I know, you know, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's made me a real soldier in the game, and I'm able to operate under adverse conditions. But I do feel that it would be more productive to be able to have the time to sit back and really consider what I'm doing without having to say, okay, well, I'm in the hotel room and I have 4 hours until soundcheck. Let me see if I can.
Right, right.
You know, I can really relax now, so well, I'm thankful.
This award and honor certainly recognizes your talent, but also it recognizes the tenacity that you're talking about of somebody who really just never gave up on their craft.
Yeah, that's the lesson in all of this for I is, you know, don't give up. You always, all of us have a gift and we have dreams. And it was instilled in me from an early age just to do what you want to do and to do your best at it. So, yeah, don't give up.
We're talking to Corey Harris, a recent recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant. Corey, was there music in your home a lot when you were growing up? Did your parents teach music? How did it come into your life?
No, it wasn't really like that. But we were musical in the sense that we had records, you know, and, you know, I was exposed to church music a lot, you know, so that was like gospel and I was around a lot of old people when I was young and coming up. So that, I think, had an influence on the music that I knew about, you know. But no, we weren't. No one really played. We didn't have any instruments in the house, really. No one played, really. But, you know, we would play. My mom would play vinyl records sometimes. And that's, you know, my first exposure. And I remember, like, you know, as a little child going to, like, the barbecue place. And they would have a jukebox and it'd be like Lattimore on there and B.B. King and, you know, Bobby Blue Bland and, you know, people like that. So I definitely was exposed to it. Yeah.
When did you first pick up a guitar? And
I was about 11 years old when I first started playing guitar.
Did you teach yourself? Did you just sort of figure it out?
I did have some lessons that I never studied or did the homework for. And so, and also my teachers, I wasn't inspired, just to say that. The music they wanted to teach me was like 80s heavy metal, and I wasn't really feeling that. But that was what was in demand for guitar teachers to teach at that time, you know. So that
Well, you
was
wouldn't
good.
Be the first 11-year-old taking music lessons who wasn't necessarily applying themselves or practicing like
there
they
you
should,
go,
would you?
You know, so, you know, it helped me to, have a more unique path, more personal path. This is what I want to do, and just to teach myself.
My guest is musician Corey Harris. Corey, when did it click? When did you know? Tell me about the moment where you were in your life when you're holding the guitar and you realized, man, this is it. This is what I am meant to do.
Well, Coy, I can say that I've always loved music. And even I can remember, this might sound funny, but I can remember being at preschool and imagining music in my head, writing a song in my head. And I can imagine the drummer, what the drummer would do, what the bassist would do. You know, I would imagine this in my mind when I was very young. I don't know where that comes from, but I've always been musical. And even my mother will tell you that I mean, it's not uncommon for children to kick in the womb when they heard music, but she always says that I was a real kicker whenever music came along.
Do you remember your first gig, your first public performance?
It had to have been a talent show at school. Well, actually, no. My first real public performance, I was in the marching band and in symphonic orchestra. So, you know, it was probably around fifth grade when I started playing trumpet. Yeah.
And so then, you were playing the trumpet before the guitar?
Yes. Okay. I was a musician playing trumpet. I played trumpet pretty well and, you know, played a little jazz, a little, you know, orchestra. We were the number one marching band in the state, you know. And then I also played baritone as well, which is a step down from the tuba.
Yeah. And the band was where? Where was it?
This was in Colorado. I'm from Colorado.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your influences. I know it's written on a website. It says that Corey Harris is proud to carry the tradition of classic African-influenced blues music into the 21st century.
I haven't seen that website.
This is Wikipedia.
Okay.
Explain to us. Tell us about these musicians from the past that have really spoken to you and that their art really resonates with you today, this tradition that you're carrying on. Explain that to us.
Honestly, you know, I don't see myself as really carrying on a tradition. It's more like the tradition is carrying me on. You know, I wouldn't even be here if this tradition weren't around. We wouldn't be having this discussion. So it's much bigger than I, but I can say, you know, that it's informed what I do, and I feel it's a part of me, and, you know, it sustains me. It gives me food to eat. It gives my family food to eat. It's brought me a lot of blessings in my life. If I want to talk about individual people back in the roots of the blues, I definitely say Charlie Patton, Son House, Willie Brown. You know, these are people way back in Mississippi blues, you know. Lightnin' Hopkins was somebody who's a Texas blues man that was also somebody I heard early on in life. But I always, even though I've been associated with blues and I have played blues, I've always played other things. And so as a consequence, I'm not really always grouped as a blues artist. Sometimes I am talked about as, oh, he's this acoustic Delta blues guy. Then other times they say, well, he's this reggae guy who does blues sometimes, or they'll say, oh, he plays African music, you know, so it's cool. You know, I just try and do my thing. And the main thing is to make original music and express myself, because I feel that the name of the game is personal expression. As artists, we're supposed to be introspective and look inside and then communicate that journey to everyone else.
Corey, you know, one of the things that I have told my two kids, besides the fact that, you know, you are going to college, there's no question about that, is you are going to learn a musical instrument. You are going to learn how to create music, because I think it's something that every human being should know. I studied piano for, you know, 15 years as a kid. Uh-huh. I think it's something every human being should know how to make music.
Yes.
And so, but we see a lot of kids today who just are never even introduced to it. Yeah. There's less and less money now in the schools for this kind of thing.
True.
What are your thoughts on that, on the importance of introducing music, and not just hearing and appreciating, but teaching children to make music and to learn how to play musical instruments?
Right. Well, I think it all starts with exposure, and then, you know, them seeing you do it. You know, my kids, all three of them, they like music, and I don't really sit down with them all the time and say, you must play this, you must play that. But yeah, from time to time, we sit down with guitars or drums, or, you know, we play piano. I think the main thing is to make it fun for kids. If it's not fun, if it's not inspiring, they're not going to want to do it, you know? So that's my goal, is just to make it fun for them and make it be a way they can express themselves.
Would you honor us with a selection of music?
Sure.
And is this for your most recent is Zion's Crossroads?
Right. All right, this is a little tune we call Ark of the Covenant. Thank you. the covenant resting in a Zion. Sat down next to the conquering lion. So the scriptures say iron sharpen iron, yeah. The ark of the covenant resting in a Zion. Sat down next to the conquering lion. So the scriptures say iron sharpen iron, yeah. Moses and Aaron trodden through the wilderness with the ark and the rod of righteousness. Judah passed a test tougher than the rest, oh yes. Pull a Zion. There is a lion, and yes, we trod on, we trod on. From Jerusalem to Aswan, down to the Gion, Tanakhir goes to Aksum. Hola Zion, hola Zion. See the lion, iron sharpened iron. See the lion, see him. And from that time to this time forward, scripture and verse, word to the universe never reverse. Upon the mercy seat between the cherubim, well, to Zion I sing. Zion is I and I everything. Well, the lion's still a conquering, the fighter's still a battling. The lion's still a conquering, fighting still. The ark of the covenant resting in a Zion. Sat down next to the conquering lion. So the scriptures say iron sharpen iron, yeah. The ark of the covenant resting in a Zion. Sat down next to the conquering lion. So the scriptures say iron sharpen iron, yes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Corey Harris, Charlottesville's own, a recent recipient of the MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant. It's truly been a thrill of mine to hear that. It was just beautiful, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.